superintendent of the San Mateo Foster City School District and the host of the One SMFC podcast.
My name is Israel Cruz. I'm the LGBTQ plus counselor and special assignment for the district.
Woo woo. Welcome. Mm.
Dennis Hills, assistant superintendent, student services.
And long time employee of the, how many years in the district
now? It's my seventh year.
That's a long time.
Feels great though. Yeah.
It's the lucky seven. 7 years is that amount of time where you legitimately get to see a whole progression happen. It's like you see kids go from kindergarten through middle school, right? You see that transformation. How much change have you seen in the district in your 7 years?
Oh, huge amount of change. I know we talk about it often as administrators.
Like, you brought it, Diego.
No, but I think, you know, the times have required that we've changed too with the pandemic and just right before the pandemic, things were a certain way. The pandemic hit. We were all dealing with that. Now we're post-pandemic, year two or three into that. But huge changes. I think we have had resources have shifted. You know, our focus has shifted. Needs have changed. And I think that, to me, is the biggest thing that...
I think back to 2018, 19, I think, like, our heads were in the clouds. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't realize how, in some ways, how easy we had things. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think that way when you think back... you know, pre-pandemic?
I do. I think back, but I think the pandemic really brought up a lot of the issues that were going on as a society, I think.
Because we had to stop doing so many other things.
Yeah. And you get to the root of like, man, a lot of people are suffering. A lot of, you know, people need mental health support. Not just now, they needed it before, but it shows up even more so now.
We recognized it more, but it was there. Mm-hmm. And then when we didn't have our daily lives as that, not distraction, but that focus, then it was like, oh, wow, this is right in front of our faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that whole, the emotional, social, emotional well-being of people has shifted, and that hasn't changed. I think it's gotten even deeper with people recognizing they need help, and or they're not talking about it yet, but they're really in a need.
Well, and that's an interesting way to think about this podcast and this episode and having Israel with us is like what people need. And then, you know, more specifically in our business, what kids need, you know, what, when we take stock of how we educate kids, what's missing, what isn't there for them, what's just outside of the district's reach. And a couple of years ago, dating back to 2019, we had some very innovative board leadership who said, basically, we need to adopt resolutions that protect LGBTQ plus students and black and brown students, and we need to call out racism and we need to call out bigotry. And those board resolutions are actually beautiful to read if you look at them. But I think we also knew we didn't have the systems yet to do something about it. We knew what we wanted to do, but we didn't have the systems. And that's what I want to hear about from the two of you today is sort of talk to me about where we are today, because Dennis, if you recall, a couple years ago, I walked over to the Human Resources office. At the time, you were director of Human Resources, which you know, you'd been doing for multiple years, and we sort of kicked off this whole process. So, talk a little bit about what it was like back then when you just joined as the assistant superintendent of student services.
Yeah, you just made me think about a memory I had as an HR person. We had a staff member who actually was identifying as non-binary and wanted to have a pronoun, you know, change in their name and wanted to do it on their work stuff, their information, and also the way they were being treated at work. Mm. Someone in transition and trying to figure out as an adult who they are. And we needed to create a safety plan for that staff member. And as an HR person, I reached out to the county. I reached out to, you know, just resources that we had that were very limited. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of made it up, to be honest with you. I'm not sure that person ever felt really that supported in looking back, but we were doing the best we can.
You were sort of looking for what was out
there. Yeah, and there was nothing out there.
You didn't know what was out there.
No, very little, and that was just 7 years ago. Mm. And that really stuck with me, that this person was in need. They were in crises. Administrators as well were struggling with, well, how do we help this staff person go through this experience as an adult, let alone how do we help young people do that? Mm-hmm. So for me, that was an entry into... you know, in that work as an HR person, like, we all want to help. That's the work we do. We're helpers. I don't think we did it very well. The person ended up leaving the district. Hopefully they're in a good spot now. But I have confidence that we would do it very differently today. I know we would, because we've continued to do that work. So I feel really good about that. But I think you don't know something until you know it, and you've got to walk through it. Sometimes it's really painful, not just as a helper, but watching someone in pain and in need. So that keeps me motivated to want to do better work every
and
day.
Human resources is a department where you really are going to hear those adult issues. You know, we employ over 1,000 people. So you're going to have a stream throughout the school year of just different people that come in for support. In that particular case, it was about their transition that they were making and, mm-hmm. and this sort of, you know, change that they wanted to see happen and how they were addressed at work and, you know, what their work environment was like. But on a daily basis, we also educate close to 11,000 kids. And those issues also come to the forefront. When you joined Student Services, you had a really small department, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. bare bones. Yeah, we've really grown with counselors and social workers and mental health clinicians and teachers on special assignment. And the team has grown. The wellness team has just blossomed.
Because we knew our kids needed support, and we actually didn't have enough people out there giving the support. Israel, you were a counselor at the time at mm-hmm. Laurel Elementary mm-hmm. School, and I recall a scenario where I looked at how we had staff assigned, and we even had some schools that didn't have a counselor assigned to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... A lot of the counselors, I remember I moved up to the Bay Area in 2020. I started, at Laurel in the middle of the pandemic, and we would meet online. And I was counting the counselors like, oh, there's only like 12 of us, 11 of us, but there's more schools.
21 schools.
Yeah, I realized people are moving from two sites. And then, you know, by the time I left Laurel, we had 2 full-time counselors. It shows the need of the school, right? So I agree with Dennis. I think it's blossomed into something beautiful. There's so many clinicians now, social workers, counselors at middle schools, elementary schools, TOSAs, who are also supporting the schools. Mm-hmm.
TOSAs are those teachers on special assignment. Mm-hmm. They're sort of somewhere in between a teacher in the classroom and either counselor or administrator, depending on their background. Mm-hmm. But they're available to assist kids on a daily basis pretty much all day long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at some point in time, Dennis, you led the work in the district in our LGBTQ plus inclusion task force. You led that work. What did that have to do with Israel's new position and what he's doing now?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I think, you know, to the strategic plan, this work started and was recognized through the work that people were doing to understand what are our needs. We needed someone to hold the work and to really not only just hold it, but to be a champion for everybody in the district around LGBTQ plus issues and concerns, and whether they be a young person in the district, a staff member, family members. Mm-hmm. So we created this out position of a teacher on special assignment. And fortunately, we had an inside candidate who mm-hmm. was a counselor in the district, Israel, who showed, you know, a desire to do this work. And it's really your passion, if I can mm-hmm. speak for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in it. This is your first year doing it. So last year was the buildup to what does this position look like? What are they going to do? Let's get a job description.
Yeah.
Let's look at what the state, what other folks in the state are doing around this work. And we're recognizing that it's really at its sort of the genesis or the what's mm-hmm. the word I'm looking for? Sort of it's from the ground up. We're really bare bones because not many districts have this position. So we're creating it.
And it's being politicized throughout the state.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? It doesn't take much to, you know, maybe 24, 48 hours. There's a new news article that's mm-hmm. coming out that says this school district is banning a book or this school district is getting rid of this flag or this school district is closing this class. And mm-hmm. and you see it happening in the state of California almost on a daily basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or policies where, you know, teachers now have to inform parents if a student decides to change their pronouns, their name, right? They do it out of safety. Students come out sometimes to teachers because they feel safer with teachers, administrators, friends at schools. It's very, very common. And then for them to out them, it can be very detrimental to the student. And, you know, we want to make sure we protect them and keep them safe and make sure that they feel safe when they go home. Sometimes going home doesn't always feel safe if you're a queer kid or a kid who's LGBTQ+.
Yeah. And yet we are here and we have this infrastructure that we've mm-hmm. built. And it really, as you pointed out, Dennis, it goes back almost 3 years where we sat together with a group mm-hmm. of people in this community and wrote this strategic plan. And we specifically put in there the work that is now being put in place by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was part of a very public process because none of this is behind the scenes. As a school district, we very publicly and vocally promote that we're a safe space, that we are doing this very innovative work. You know, we're recording a podcast talking about this work, and we're going to send it out to everybody. And at the same time, I think families want to know, what does it mean to provide support? What is that? Talk me through that. What that might look like at a middle school? Sure. How do you support kids there?
Yeah, I think work at a middle school is very involved. A lot of the work is supporting the GSA clubs on campus. GSA clubs on campus are very, very important. They're safe spaces for a lot of students who identify as LGBTQ+. It's spaces where
and
they can go.
GSA, Gay Straight Alliance?
Yes, or Gender Sexuality Alliance.
Gender Sexuality.
Depending on the school, the district. Yeah. Sometimes even the
I've
students.
I've seen it both ways.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes the students want to switch the name to like a rainbow club or whatever they choose, right?
Yeah.
We kind of go with the GSA because it's more known around, you know, the state of the country.
Very common.
And so the support is, you know, supporting these advisors. We hope that the advisors are those who want to keep the students safe as well. And me working with the advisors, I'm providing supports, providing, you know, whether it's a day of silence, whether it's National Coming Out Day, whether it's Transgender Awareness Month, whatever the special day might be, I want to make sure that I can support the advisors and letting them know, hey, this day is coming up. These are some of the things you can do on campus. We're very...
You were just at one of our campus over at Abbott Middle School.
I was at Abbott, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I was at Abbott. So some of the things that I'm doing is bringing... kind of like awareness to the students too, that there's someone at the district who you can reach out for support, whether it's the staff, the students, even the family. So I bought this little table. I bought a pride flag, a progressive pride flag, so all the students could see themselves in this pride flag. And, you know, I set out during lunch, provided pencils, stickers, flyers, and the kids were coming up like, what's this? Oh, it's a pride sticker. Take one. Or it's a pride pencil. Take one. And they would go through the stickers like, oh, do you have, you know, a non-binary sticker? Do you have a sticker with a rainbow? Or my sister, you know, she identifies as a lesbian. I want to grab the sticker for my sister. Or, you know, I have relatives who are X, Y, and Z. Cool. You know, some of the work is just recognizing there's people on campus who I can go to and feel safe around, or at the district level too.
Well, when you showed up and you put the table out mm-hmm. and you put the flag out, mm-hmm. that was a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wearing multiple symbols.
I am.
First of all, you're wearing a symbol that I do have to take issue with that symbol. You don't know this necessarily, Dennis, but there is a big divide in mm-hmm. the Mexican community, and it's related to chocolate.
Oh, I didn't know that. Tell me more.
Big, big. There are basically two camps, Chocolate Abuelita and Chocolate Ibarra.
Team Ibarra or Team Abuelita.
And there the twain shall meet. Okay.
Which one's better?
Obviously Ibarra.
Ibarra. Okay.
You don't have to, you know, get into the details, mm-hmm. but there is like a very, it's sort of a, it's one of the, to me, one of the more fun controversies mm-hmm. in Mexico mm-hmm. is this like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, Pepsi or Coke type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Very similar, yeah.
But
yeah.
You're putting a big symbol on your lanyard. That's your employee lanyard.
Yep.
And you've got a rainbow sticker that says, this is, you're safe with me. Mm-hmm. And you've got the pronouns and mm-hmm. you've got rainbow. So why do you wear that? And what do you think that does in terms of an impact on students?
I wear it because I think it's important for the students to see a symbol of safety, right? I identify as queer. I like queer. And to me, seeing the rainbow gives me a sense of like relief and safety. I give this example often where I'm driving somewhere and if I don't know the area, I don't always feel safe, especially as a brown queer man. right? And so when I drive down a street and I see a pride flag hanging out, you know, immediately I'm like, okay, this is a safe space for me. If I, for whatever reason, have to go somewhere, I know I can go to this house,
yeah.
right? Same thing for the students. If I feel as an adult this huge sense of relief, I can imagine my students as well, you know, seeing this pride sticker or even the pronouns. We went to a conference in May, and one of the things that really stood out to me is that something as simple as a pin can really make a difference for a student to come and, you know, seek support or want to talk to you. I know it makes me feel safe when I'm around a pride flag. And so I want the students to see that they are safe with me, that I am a safe person they can be around. I am a safe person that they can come and talk to me about whatever they might be dealing with. Just recently, I was at Target, waiting on the aisle, trying to buy something. There's a group of high school kids, just kind of, you know, on the side. I had my arms crossed. I don't think they can see my lanyard. So I put my arms down, and then they walked by, and then someone pointed out my, you know, my pins. Like, oh, I love your pins. But I noticed, you know, as a counselor, I pay attention to a lot of body language.
You're still working.
Yeah, I'm still working. I'm not working. I'm at Target trying to buy something. But I can see their body language just kind of like,
yeah.
Right. And that's what I want for my students, to feel safe and comfortable around me, to know that I...
Okay, well, and there's right. there's lots of research that talks about the impact of feeling safe and mm-hmm. having somebody you can go to, and
yeah.
the reduction and the risk of suicide.
Yeah, absolutely. And, right. So Trevor Project, I was looking at the data from last year, and, you know, suicide reduces about 30 to 40% when you have connection to one person who you feel safe around, right? That's a big,
Think
big
about
number.
That. Think about that.
You have one person.
Our middle schools have... close to 1,000 people every day when it comes to staff and students. If our kids have even one person that they feel safe with, I mean, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, to me, I want it to get down to that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you're close enough to the students and to the schools that you could be in that position to help that teacher be that one person, help that principal be that one person, or in certain cases, even be that person mm-hmm. for one of our kids?
I think so. I think, you know, there's some schools that I know more of, or, you know, I worked at Laurel. It's a lot of my students went to Abbott, and so one of my Abbott.
So it's a big reunion.
It's a big reunion for me, and I love it, you know. The students feel safe around me, you know, but part of the work is also to have these GSA advisors who students can also feel safe around, you know, providing them with the same pins.
Because they're there every day.
They're there every day.
Like, they could be like an English teacher or mm-hmm. a science teacher or somebody else on staff.
Yeah, and the students can go into their classroom, you know, at any day of the week. I'm not there every single day, so for the staff advisor to have a pin, the students know who can they can go to feel safe and protected around. If they have any questions or concerns, or something happened at lunch and, you know, I just need a safe space, cool, they have the advisor who's there to support them.
Yeah, and then we have, you know, close to 1,000 people that work for us. What should one of our employees do when they reach a point where they're sort of nervous or don't? I think sometimes a lot of employees don't know what to do. They'll have a teenager come in and tell them something really intense, mm-hmm. and they really don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. When it pertains to one of our LGBTQ plus identifying kids, what do you want them to do?
Great question. I'm so glad you asked that question, because I have had situations where teachers say, I don't know what to do. You know, this kid just came out to me, like, what do I do? I remind them, if a student came out to you, it's because they have a lot of trust. You know, students don't come out to just anyone. They come out to people who they trust and they feel safe around. So you should already feel very special and you know, happy that the student came out to you. And just letting the student know, I'm here for you, I support you. And also asking the student, you know, if a student comes out to me, I'm the teacher, I would ask the student, who can I share this with? Is it just me that you want me to know? If a student comes out and says, I want to be called Mike starting tomorrow,
right?
Who can I call you Mike around? Your friends? Other teachers? Can I refer to you as Mike in front of your parents? Or do I use, you know, what's on this document, you know, your legal name, for example? Yeah. But I would want teachers to know that students come out to you because they feel safe around you. Support them. Let them know you're there for them. If they don't know how to support a student, this is why, you know, I think this position was also made so I can also support the teachers, support the GSA advisors, support the teachers, support the families, and consult with whoever needs, you know, support, so I can be that contact person so the teachers don't feel like I have to do this by myself, but I don't have no support. We now have a support at the district. I feel like I'm that support for the teachers as well.
And they can build that trusting relationship mm-hmm. with you. They can build that trusting relationship probably with one of their counselors. Mm-hmm. Also, all of our middle schools have counselors. All of our elementary schools have counselors.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, part of that work is also letting the teachers know if you have any questions. I mean, you have people on your team who are specialists, you know, counselors, clinicians, social workers, who if you have any questions at any time, you can also reach out to them. And, hey, this kid came out to me. What can I do? What can I say? They'll be more than happy to also provide with some, you know, support.
Yeah, and because we now have this ecosystem of staff, our school principals are a part of it. Our school assistant principals are a part of it. Our teachers on special assignment for student support. Our teachers on special assignment for restorative practices. Our LGBTQ plus counselor. We have TOSAs all throughout the district for academics. Our school counselors. Mm-hmm. We have mental health clinicians. We have social workers. So we truly do have a team. What is that like for you in terms of now having so many colleagues when just a few years ago you were kind of by yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, like then I said, it felt like bare bones sometimes, right? I would reach out to my colleagues, the same like few, hey, I have the situation going on in my school. What supports you might have or what do you suggest, right? Now having all these clinicians, it's so amazing just quickly, you know, of a text, a phone call, hey, any support with this, any support with that. But I think it really helps us. I think for counselors, we were kind of overwhelmed with so many layers of so many different things, right? I think now I can solely focus on LGBTQ plus needs at the district, where the clinicians can focus on, mental health needs for families, for students. Counselors can focus on, like, social-emotional learning. I feel like we now have our lanes, right, equally divided, where before I was like, I was doing all of it.
You're not doing 17 different
mm-hmm. exactly
levels. You're now on two levels, mm-hmm. three levels, and mm-hmm. you're getting more involved in these schools, and that's where this work is headed. That's the purpose of this work. It's about that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. It's that sense of safety. It's about acknowledging that our LGBTQ plus students have every right to this sense of community and belonging and safety and the richness mm-hmm. of our schools when we have that culture in place. And there's much more to do. We're just getting started mm-hmm. in this work, but I'm certainly grateful that you're doing this work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I think the work is, you can see it already on campuses. Schools I visited, you can see such a calmness at the school. Students, you know, visiting the table. This is cool. Can I grab another sticker? I was like, one per person for now. I got to buy more stickers before you run me dry.
Increase the sticker budget.
Right? Superintendent. It's great to see the work.
Yeah, Dennis, you've seen this go from it doesn't exist. His mm-hmm. position didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Half the positions I just listed didn't exist. Talk about the feeling now. What do you see now? What are you excited about for this year?
Well, I think when you ask me that, I think about the message was or is it's okay to be gay or different. But I think really the message is it's okay to be you.
I love that.
Yeah. Right? And so to me, that's what's most important about this work and about where we're at in this district, this time, in this place. I've been in this career a long time, and it wasn't always any of it. Not, for the most part, none of that was true. It wasn't okay to be you. And I think we're getting to a much better place about just be you, show up, bring who you are, and we're going to help you navigate the world. It's not easy being whatever age you are mm-hmm. throughout your life, but we're here to help you do that, and we want to make it better for you. So to me, that feels great.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, guys.
Yeah. And like I just add to that as well. I'm sure my job is focusing on LGBTQ plus for the district, but a lot of the work that I do can also trickle down to other students who aren't, you know, part of the community, who might just be, you know, newcomers, BIPOC, who might have a single parent at home. I don't know. A lot of the work can also trickle down to other areas besides just, LGBTQ plus.
And that work happens in our schools every day.
Every single day.
It's ongoing, and the future certainly bright.